Yes, happy Friday to you. You've got Smitty and Rob with you on a four-quarter Friday. We are in the midst of the high school baseball and softball playoffs here in the Palmetto State, but we also have spring football. Rob has had his eyes all over that. Some of the more familiar names in baseball have been roaring, and we will talk about some of those matchups as we move on. Of course, we've got Southside Christian head coach Scott Freeman, who's Sabres, defending state champions, and of course, they boast one of the best pitching staffs in the state. They have looked the part early on in the playoffs, and we'll talk to Scott Freeman in just a few minutes. And then later on in the show, we've got Daniel High School football coach Chris Stone coming off a big year, big first year with the Lions, and they've got spring football practice going on. Rob, you can't get away from it. You have been on all these campuses. I don't know. You must have seen 8-10 teams in the last few days in terms of seeing guys starting to put on the pads a little bit, toss the rock around. Tell us what you've seen on your tours throughout the state.
Yeah, no doubt. Good morning, Smitty. It's good to be here in the HD studios, Hewitt Domodiros Law, HDLawSC.com, presenting the studio for you this morning. If you need anything in terms of personal injury or an insurance claim, a dog bite, you fill up the steps, whatever it is, you call Brad and Dean. Talk to Amanda at Hewitt Domodiros Law, HDLawSC.com. But yes, Smitty, I have seen so many things this week at the beginning of our four-quarter Friday spring football tour, beginning actually last Friday at Westside and then working my way through several schools this week. Top prospects in the state, Jaden Bryant and Nate Carson over at Irmo, got a chance to see them and a few others of their teammates as well there. Ty Phillips, the running back, posted a 4.32 at an Under Armour event last week. He is definitely one to watch. This state is absolutely loaded with running backs in this class, and there are a few more coming behind them. So it's easy when you look at the top, Smitty. We've talked a lot about Trey Segarra. We've talked about Aiden Gibson. But it's easy to get some of these other guys to get lost. I mentioned Phillips at Irmo. I was at Spartanburg yesterday. Trenton Lynch just committed to Rutgers. And so there is a stable of backs across the state, and we don't have time to mention them all today. But we will continue to take a look at not just running backs, but football teams across the state, like we said. The tour continues, Smitty. It's just getting started.
How many teams did you see yesterday? I think it was at Dorman where there was a multi-team event, and yep, it looked like they were all in pads.
Yep, three teams yesterday with Dorman, Bowling Springs, and Woodmont all working, getting some work in at Dorman. It was great to kind of get my eyes on some of those guys. James Porter is obviously a defensive lineman for Dorman that's going to make some noise. We've talked to Coach Jack Jolly about the dual sport athlete that is Carter Nash, that will kind of be a prospect we'll be looking at for years to come as he's still early in his high school career. But just an opportunity to look at all three of those teams and get a chance to talk with all three coaches as well about what their teams have coming up. And they, too, are excited about fourquarterfriday.com, which is coming up this month in partnership with On3 and Rivals, bringing coverage to the state of South Carolina in a way that has never been done before, so that you, the fan, the community member, the alum, can be involved with pulling for, reading about, watching clips, and engaging with other fans of your team. So we're excited about fourquarterfriday.com coming up later this month, as are, Smitty, every program and coach that I speak with.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, and that's where a lot of this information will land. Let me go over some of the highlights going on in baseball, the playoffs right now. We all need a little bit of a refresher about who some of the top seeds are and everything. I'll start this time in Class A. We so often start in 5A, but let's give Class A some love here. Abbeville, Lakeview, and defending champion McBee all look like contenders. How about this? McBee won its first game in the playoffs 26-1. They faced Lamar coming up in round two. And McBee and Lakeview met in last year's championship series. They both look strong again. So great programs there at the Class A level. We had some upsets in the upstate. You know these teams so well, Rob. In 2A, in the upper state's top seed, Chesney, lost its first game to York. But, you know, anybody that knows what York's done this year, there's no shame in that. So now the Eagles have to fight their way through the loser's bracket. Chesney 96 game, that was a loser's bracket game, rained out last night. So here's a great chance. A lot of these games are coming up on Saturday, and I know we have a lot of things going on Saturday. We talk about supporting high school athletics. If you're up there in the upstate, you could see a good one. Chesney and 96, that's the upstate's one seed and the two seed up there. In Chesney and 96, they both were upset in the first round. They'll be on the field tonight at Chesney, Dean Jones Field, 6:30. The upper state's winner's brackets game between York and Chester also got rained out, so we'll try to make those up. In 3A, we're going to have Southside head coach Scott Freeman join us in a few minutes. They won their first playoff game, 22-0 over Carolina, and then handled Pendleton 14-0. So it's almost not fair right now. We'll talk to, now, that was Carson Bowman, by the way, that 14-0 game. He fanned 10 in five innings. And in the lower state, Oceanside Collegiate looks strong. They've won their first two playoff games by a combined score of 17-0. So you can add it all up yourself. That's Southside Christian's won its first two, 36-0. Oceanside Collegiate's won its first two, 17-0. That could be a collision course, Rob.
No doubt. As it tends to be.
As it tends to be. And Airport, who didn't – how about this? Airport didn't drop a game in last year's playoffs. That's how good Airport, the Eagles, were rolling last year. They're off to another good start. They'll host South Aiken tomorrow. Airport swept that series 2-0. So South Aiken certainly has – the Thoroughbreds have their work cut out for them. And AC Flora, a team that you've seen now in the playoffs, they've won their first two playoff games by a combined score of 31-5. You were there, I think, Tuesday night in what – there was a dust-up between AC Flora and Daniel.
Yeah, no doubt. And it came on the heels of – I posted a photo where seemingly there was an inning. The second inning had zeros both on the, in the top and the bottom on the scoreboard. But that's because on a digital scoreboard, there's only one digit, Smitty, and you can't put a 10-run inning on that digital scoreboard that Flora had in the second inning. And it was – I showed up from watching spring practice for the football team after the first inning, and Daniel was up 3-2. And by the end of the second inning, it was 12-3 Falcons. So, it was a little it got a little bit chippy for a moment there. But AC Flora, to your point, and to the point of so many of these highlights, scoring a lot of runs.
Yeah, scored a lot. Yeah,
a lot of runs.
Airport, AC Flora, still they're certainly playing well. Daniel's still alive. Daniel is still alive. I believe they've got AC Flora in a rematch coming up. And let me
mention Flora and Airport. We saw them both at AC Flora during
that's
the
right.
Acres Classic. So teams that would that are also familiar with one another moving forward.
That's right. So and so impressed with a lot of these. And five, look, we've got some 5A teams. Let me go to Division II 5A baseball. Indian Land, a team we've been talking about all season. Hal Bagwell's there. He's got 600-plus wins. They're the top seed in the upstate. They will host Greenville tonight. Easley is at Nation 4. T.L. Hanna at second seed at Hillcrest tonight. And I still don't have a score on this one. I hate to bring this to you. Gaffney Eastside played last night. I've got text out. I cannot find the score. They could have been rained out. That could have been a rainout. I'm not sure what happened. Catawba Ridge will get the winner of Gaffney Eastside. And how about this? Here's another one. We talked about Airport. Catawba Ridge, the Copperheads, 4-0 on their home field in last year's playoffs. So that's one you – that's a tough, tough place to go up there and play in that Fort Mill area. In the lower state, the top seed is, again, the defending state champion, Berkeley. They've got Lugoff Elgin coming up. St. James is at West Florence. North Myrtle Beach, a team we've been talking about all season long. The Chiefs are very good. They have a great program. They're the two seed in the lower state. They'll host West Florence, and Conway travels to Chapin. And quickly, I will roll through what's going on in 5A Division 1 in the baseball playoffs as we get to Scott Freeman, Southside Christian. Burns eliminated Ridgeview. That was one of the way they're doing that, the play-in series, best two out of three in the play-in. And Burns eliminated Ridgeview. So now it's Burns at JL Mann. Those are two teams that know each other so well. They're in a region together next year, right? Burns got moved to the Greenville region, I believe. So, so JL Mann and Burns, they'll be region mates next year. Burns, how about this? The Burns lineup, watch out for the Rebels. They are cooking. 31 runs in their first two playoff games. The upper state's top seed, Dorman, We obviously had Jack Jolly on. You can find that. You go to Four Quarter Friday on YouTube, and you can find out, see all the clips and the full interview with Jack Jolly, who is built a superpower there at Dorman. They await the winner of tonight's rubber match between Dutch Fork and Clover. So that's a good matchup there. District 2 of the Upper State, Malden has moved past Rock Hill. So now it's Malden at Blythewood, 2 o'clock tomorrow. Spartanburg has eliminated Spring Valley. And another one you want to – this is another game. You want to be there in person if you can. If you're within driving distance, Spartanburg and Boiling Springs at Bulldog Park. Now, Boiling Springs won all three of the regular season matchups under Jeff Lipscomb. So Spartan High is looking for revenge. But Spartan High and Boiling Springs, Region 2 5A rivals in the playoffs. That is cool. And we've got more of that in the lower state. Fort Dorchester eliminated Ashley Ridge. They're going to square off with the lower state's Goliath, James Island. The Trojans swept Fort Dorchester in a three-game series back in April. So they're obviously the favorites going in. We've had Matt Spivey on the show. We'll have him again. And another one. Rob, I may have to go to this one. Four-seed Stratford is going to play host to longtime rival Somerville. Those are two programs that don't like each other, two fan bases that don't like each other. How good is that? And they're going to be in the same region again next year. Somerville and Stratford baseball playoffs. That's tomorrow. And finally, in the lower states, District 3, there's River Bluff is traveling to face two-seed Carolina Forest. This is another one with storylines. I'd already texted Austin Alexander. Austin Alexander is Banks Alexander's father. We've had Austin Alexander from Diamond Prospects on. Banks is his son, the star catcher for River Bluff. Well, they previously lived in the Carolina Forest area. Those are his teammates. Now he plays for River Bluff. They meet in the playoffs. So I love this. The baseball gods never disappoint. I mean, Somerville, Stratford, River Bluff, and Carolina Forest, storylines everywhere, Spartanburg and Boiling Springs. All of this is so good. This is a great weekend of baseball coming up. So we'll take a break. I don't want to be late because we don't want to leave Scott Freeman waiting. Scott Freeman, head coach for Southside Christian. He is a state championship winning coach. He's trying to get another one with a great roster again this season. Scott Freeman joins us on the other side. This is Four Quarter Friday.
Check the state line high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
If you have experienced any sort of damage to your home or business, smoke, water, fire, or mold, visit RestaproSmidlandsSC.com, proud supporters of South Carolina High School Athletics.
Leading Edge Fundraising is the number one fundraising solution in South Carolina for middle and high schools, club teams, and colleges. At Leading Edge, a personal representative does the work for you to make more money in just 1 hour. Leading Edge is your solution. It's a one-stop shop for over 10 different fundraising options that all run off the same proven process. Don't stress about insufficient budgets or lack of materials. Contact Leading Edge today and raise funds fast. Leading Edge, South Carolina. Raise more, do more, win more. LeadingEdgeFundraising.com.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team!
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Let's talk ball.
A little bit later on, we'll be talking football, but we are in the midst of the high school baseball playoffs here in the Palmetto State. Coach Scott Freeman from Southside Christian joins us now on the Leading Edge guest line. And Coach, you're coming off a big win. Carson Bowman did his thing again, striking out 10 in five innings. You've got a great roster, though. It's not just Carson Bowman. So good morning, welcome, and congratulations on the success you've already had.
Good morning. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Of course. And, Coach, I got to see you at the Classic in Georgetown early in the year, but Carson Bowman didn't throw back then. So tell us about this journey through the season, handling him, projected first-round pick. This is something a lot of high school coaches don't have to deal with, but I know that you dealt with his innings, but here you are. You've kind of unleashed him now in the second part of the season.
That's right. We wanted to be very careful early on. And, you know, in hindsight, the weather in Georgetown was 80 degrees and nice and not your typical early March weather. But we wanted to be careful, especially through the cooler months, of ramping him up slowly. He had thrown late into the fall with Team USA, a little bit farther into the fall than typical. And so we wanted him to have time off and ramp back up slowly. So we were careful with that. And, you know, first time out, he threw two innings. Then we added a little bit, just kind of pitch count kept going up and up. But now we're in the playoffs. He's ready to roll. And, you know, obviously we'll still be careful and with pitch count and everything, but he's ready to go. And it's great to have him out there. Definitely helps having him on the mound.
Coach, if people who don't know much about your program were looking at it from the outside, they might see the name Carson Bowman and the fanfare around him, the statistics around him, and think that, you know, that he is the main focal point. But how did working him in over the course of that early season prepare your team to play without what would now be considered its biggest star?
Yeah, no, it helps us for this year. It helps us beyond this year, you know, with a lot of younger guys that had to step up and give us some big innings early on to get wins with him. You know, we've won 19 games now this year, and he's 5-0. So we've won a lot of games against good teams with him not on the mound. And so it does help us, you know, to have confidence in multiple guys out there. And obviously, he does get a lot of attention, but we've got five seniors, and they've all signed to go play college baseball somewhere next year. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting, and a lot of good younger players as well. So we got a big hit last night from a seventh grader. So the future's bright, even after Carson's gone.
Well, Coach, we want to hear about the team itself and what you've got in front of you in the playoffs, but I'd love for you, if you could quickly, to go through those five seniors that are on their way to college baseball. Tell us their names and where they're headed. We love to celebrate that in our state.
Yeah, thank you. So obviously Carson is committed to Wake Forest. He'll have some decisions to make this summer. CJ Aubuchon is a left-handed pitcher, DH for us. He is committed to Samford. Will Fulcher is right-handed pitcher, committed to Western Carolina. Bennett Candler is left-handed pitcher, center fielder, committed to Lander. And then Will Swanson is a second baseman, middle infielder for us, going to Southern Wesleyan.
That's incredible, Coach. This is Scott Freeman, Southside Christian. They're off to a great start already in the playoffs. So now, okay, so you've thrown Bowman. Tell us, if you would, how the playoff structure sets up for you the rest of the way, what you're looking ahead, and who you have your eye on. We know that Oceanside Collegiate looks like a monster in the lower state. You guys look good in the upper state, but there's also some other good teams you're going to have to play before you ever think about getting back to the state championship series.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, we have to finish out district. Pendleton and Broome will play tomorrow. We will get the winner of that game on Monday. With hopefully just one game, but, you know, they would come to our place Monday needing to beat us twice for district. And so, you know, beyond that, and again, we are really careful with our guys about talking about one game at a time and all the cliches. You know, you do keep an eye on what's going on. I know that Christchurch beat MVP last night, and so they are in the driver's seat in that district. But I know MVP's a good team. We've kind of kept an eye on them all year. We've played Christchurch twice, and so we know about them. Chapman is in the driver's seat in their district, and then you've got Woodruff and Palmetto that I think got rained out last night, play tonight to see who's sitting there. But then St. Joe's won and would be coming to potentially one of those guys. So a lot of good teams left in the upper state. Again, we know about Oceanside. We know about some other good teams in the lower state as well. But that's so far down the road. We'll worry about that if and when it happens.
Coach, obviously a very successful year for you so far. You're not going to reflect on that or count that too much, I'm sure, until it's all over with. But can you tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that you guys have faced this year that you've been able to overcome? Because with any great success, there is some opportunity to beat adversity.
Yeah. We scheduled a really tough schedule, you know, starting back at the Classic with James Island, Chapin, AC Flora, Georgetown. So we came right out of the gate playing really good teams. Lost some really close games we lost extra innings to Chapin and AC Flora. Both were, you know, decided right at the end. You know, we scheduled tough knowing that it would prepare us for the playoffs. And so I feel like that's coming to fruition now. And really you just spend all year trying to figure out how different pieces fit together. What works, what doesn't, trying a lot of different things so that when you get to the playoffs, you're ready to push the right buttons and have the right people in the right spots to win.
Coach, I've talked to you before about, you know, you came into this program and you thought it was in pretty good shape. Tell us if you would. So that was, I know your focus had to be, listen, we've got to win on the field and develop those players. Mm-hmm. But now, with all the success that you've had and all the attention on your program, tell us about maybe the youth leagues coming up and what's going on around you, because, and I know this is an area that's exploding in the Five Forks around you. So tell us about like what you're seeing about kids coming up as summer ball's about to take place.
Yeah. We're to the point now where we do camps every summer. We have a lot of kids that come and participate that, you know, both from the community and that are already students here in our elementary school at Southside Christian. I guess that is being a K-12 school. That is an advantage that, you know, we know some of the elementary kids who potentially could play for us later on. And we're starting to see that kids playing now for our middle school team who we've had at camp for 4 or 5 years in a row. They already kind of know how we like to do things, how we warm up, how we drills we like to do. So that's helpful. And just, yeah, the interest is we have people reach out to us every year interested in potentially being a part of our program, which is exciting. It just having success on the field, and I think having kids go on and play at the next level, and hopefully people recognizing that we're not just trying to build good baseball players, but pour into them and make them good men, make them good fathers, husbands, workers, neighbors someday. That's our ultimate goal. 'Cause, you know, Carson will play professionally. You know, we may have a few others down the road, but most of these guys, you know, their baseball careers are going to end either here in high school or after a college career, and then they're going to have to go to work and be contributors in their family and in the community, and we want them to be prepared for that.
Coach, I want to follow up on that. I was going to ask you there. You know, we see this more and more at the high school level where coaches are putting a specific focus on developing the whole person because of everything that you just said, because the game does end and life continues. Can you talk a little bit about what that process looks like for you and how it may change with a kid that might maybe, let's say, move in as a junior and it's not somebody that you've had all the way through the youth leagues?
Yeah. I mean, if somebody does move in, they have to be a great fit. We are very clear in talking with folks about what, and honestly, it's our culture that draws a lot of people. They see, you know, that we are demanding, but we're not going to scream and yell. We're not, you know, I would say we are players, coaches, and want to, you know, do everything we can to help them succeed on and off the field. We have every Tuesday morning, it's optional, but we have Tuesday morning Bible study at Chick-fil-A with our baseball team. We took our team on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic in in February, which kind of disrupted our typical preseason schedule, but was definitely worth it. And just, I think we grew closer as a team there. We do a senior retreat every year where we get all the seniors away and talk about, are very honest as coaches about, hey, these are things I struggled with when I was in high school. You can come talk to us about things like this. And just really trying to kind of build into them as seniors and have them prepared to lead as a team. So it's little things like that throughout the year. And just, they're teenage boys and we have some of the same issues that I had when I was at public schools and other places, but we really do emphasize trying to pour into them as young men, as well as players.
Oh, that's incredibly cool. I know they'll never forget the Dominican Republic, the trip there. Coach, we'll wrap things up here. Again, good luck moving forward. We always ask, is there a place maybe for somebody who's coming up to the game to get something to eat? Now, there's no shortage of places in that Simpsonville area. I also have to ask, do you have a cot in your office? You can't get on Woodruff Road after practice. You can't do that. So I don't know if you sleep in the office or what, but where do you also suggest that people go grab something to eat when they're up there in the Five Forks area if they want to catch Carson Bowman having a game?
Yeah, well, our coaching staff we're a little superstitious. So game days, it's Firehouse. We go there and we have to park the same place, order the same things. I mean, it's a little ridiculous, but that's kind of our game day. But there's some, great barbecue places. There's a place right here near the school, Smoky Dreams, which we hit a lot. We've got Kairos and Tzatziki's right here at the school. And you're right about Woodruff Road. I've learned a lot of little cut-throughs to just kind of pop out on Woodruff Road at the right spot and not have to travel down the length of it, because that could take forever.
Yes. You need a chopper, Coach. You just got to get a
chopper. That's right.
That's it.
We needed a chopper yesterday to get our field dry.
Okay, that's another thing. So the game is, your next game is tomorrow?
We played yesterday and it had rained all night. It was a swamp when we got here yesterday, but this is a unique issue this year. I've got scouts calling, hey, I'm at LaGuardia and I need to know whether to get on the plane or not. And it hadn't even stopped raining here yet. So that gave us a little extra motivation to get the field ready. We did. But, we could have used a helicopter just hovering over our field for a while to blow some of the water off. But we play again Monday and weather looks good. We should be fine for that. So
wonderful. Coach, we'll let you go. Go get ready for that. Continued success. Congratulations to all those players, not only what they're doing at Southside Christian, but outside the school, and then also all those players that are going to college. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thanks, Coach.
Coach Freeman. All right. We're in a hurry. We've got to keep it moving here on Four Quarter Friday. That is baseball. And we encourage everybody. We'll try to revisit that at the end of the show in our fourth quarter. But coming up next in our third quarter, we're going to talk spring football. Chris Stone, he's got a year under his belt at Daniel High School. It was a very successful one. He's also got some big-time players on that roster. We'll talk to Coach Stone, head coach for the Daniel Lions, when we come back on Four Quarter Friday.
Leading Edge Fundraising is the number one fundraising solution in South Carolina for middle and high schools, club teams, and colleges. At Leading Edge, a personal representative does the work for you to make more money in just 1 hour. Leading Edge is your solution. It's a one-stop shop for over 10 different fundraising options that all run off the same proven process. Don't stress about insufficient budgets or lack of materials. Contact Leading Edge today and raise funds fast. Leading Edge, South Carolina. Raise more, do more, win more. LeadingEdgeFundraising.com.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
Hey.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night. Chief Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Here and Coach Chris Stone joining us from Daniel High School. We moved from the diamond to the gridiron. Coach, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I know you're happy to be back out there. It's kind of like you're out of the weight room and everything, at least for a minute. Now you guys can get out in the field and get some helmets on and some shells or pads and do a little something.
They're in the weight room right now, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, the weight room never stops, I guess.
That's right.
That never stops. But, Coach, we'll talk about your team in just a minute. I know that's what's right in front of you, but I wanted to hear about your first year at Daniel because it was a success. Now, look, Daniel has a long legacy, and obviously you knew that when you took the job, and you've been up there for a long time playing at Clemson and Furman and coaching up there at Walhalla. But tell us about how you, I guess, decided to take that job and then what you implemented right away that led to that success in year one.
I decided to take the job on prayer and what I felt was a calling, because I loved where I was at Walhalla. We felt like we were building some really good stuff, but I do live about 5 minutes away. My wife works in Greenville, so it was Clemson was kind of our middle ground between Walhalla and Greenville. So I think, you know, just being able to be working in our community helps to make me a better coach, a better husband, a better father. I've got four kids. So that was a big piece of it. And I think this is a great school, great opportunity. You know, we came in, just preaching love, talking about, our core values is heart, humility, effort, attitude, respect, and toughness. And, came in preaching that, trying to get the guys to just play with a love for each other. And our kind of our word that our peer council adopted this year was resilience. And one of our kids, one of our seniors, I was doing some senior exit interviews, and I asked him, you know, if you could describe this season, you know, just in a couple sentences, what would you say? And he said, well, I think everybody on the outside looking at what we did, they see our record. They see, you know, what games we won and lost. And he said, everybody thinks that it's business as usual at Daniel, but we know that it was very different business. And I really appreciated that. And because we did have to be really resilient. You know, we were down by 9 going into the fourth quarter against Clinton. We were down 16-0 going into the fourth quarter against Seneca. And we were able to come back and win those games. So we had some tough games. But we were able to piece it together, and we hit some injuries on the back end and weren't able to finish as strong as we wanted to, but 10-2 with the seventh region championship in a row, going undefeated in the region. We're certainly not satisfied with the second round exit, but felt like the guys competed really well all year and they embodied resilience. I told them this year, resilience is out the door. We're going to go with dominance. get rid of the resilience.
It's easier. Stuff. That makes it easier on the coach, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got Daniel head football coach Chris Stone with us here this morning on the Leading Edge guest line. Coach, what has it been like to get a full spring in this year where obviously in a year one, there's a lot of newness, right? And there's a lot of jumbled and you're trying to put things together. How has this been a little bit different for you this year in terms of preparation?
Well, I didn't lose any coaches, so that was awesome. Last year, I had to put together an entire offensive staff. We kept everybody from the defensive staff, but we had to. We only had, I think, two returning coaches on the offensive staff. So there was a lot of work on that end. This year, it's just kind of been fleshing it out, finding a couple of volunteers, finding a couple of guys to, you know, do some things that we felt like we needed to do. Now I actually know what we need. Last year, I was going off of what other people were telling me and predictions, but now I feel like I have a much better handle on how to do a lot of the things. It's just, year one is very, very different. I'm looking forward to a year three because I didn't get a year three at Walhalla. And I think, you know, you can really start to hit a good stride the longer you're here. So no, this has been, it's been really good because I feel like we're really starting to lay down some just really solid things for our program.
Coach, just to follow there, I think that you talk about kind of knowing what you need and being able to see it yourself going into year two. What has it been like getting back out on the field? What's the energy around this team and the buzz? You talk about a second round exit and how these guys are embracing resilience and even dominance. It's one thing to talk about those things, right? It's another thing when you finally get to put some pads on. What has been the energy for you guys getting back out on the field?
They're really excited. I mean, we were a really young team last year, especially on offense. We lost two seniors from our offense, and we did lose five on defense. But we think we have some key pieces that are going to be able to jump in and fill those roles. Last year, we had a lot of kids that we kind of hoped that we could keep down on JV, and they ended up having to come up and play varsity. And this year, it's going to be kind of be the opposite. You know, there's going to be kind of a backlog because there's not a lot of spots to fill. And so I think that's good for our program. That builds depth. We've got a lot of kids out. I think this spring total, we've had about 130 kids out. And so just getting that many bodies out there that are excited about playing football, there's a buzz about how good we can be. And I think my favorite part is just that we're excited about what could happen on the football field, but we're starting to figure out exactly who we are and who we want to be as a program, like mentally and just as humans. We've started to flesh that out a little bit more for our kids. Win today has been a big motto that this program has held on to for a long time, a standard that they've held to. And so we've just started kind of looking at that and going, okay, but what does that mean? What does it mean to win today? So we've been talking about that with our kids and with our coaching staff. What does it mean to win today at spring practice? What does it mean to win today in the locker room? What does it mean to win today in the weight room? So we've been making sure that we define our wins, and that has kept our kids really focused and competing.
Yeah, this is Chris Stone joining us, head coach for the Daniel Lions, on the Leading Edge guest line here on Four Quarter Friday. Coach, you've got a couple of players that have committed to Clemson, and we'll get to them, but I want to hear about Brooks Abernathy, offensive lineman you've got, committed to Army. That's not a school decision. That's a life decision. So tell us about Brooks a little bit.
That's cool. Brooks is on our peer council, so he's one of the guys that his teammates have identified as a leader. And he is. He's a leader in every aspect of our program. He takes care of his grades. He takes care of himself in the hallways. And I thought that that was such a cool opportunity for Brooks, because he's gotten a couple of offers from a couple of FCS schools and had some interest from some FBS and some other FCS schools. But it was kind of like, man, you know, just waiting on people to pull the trigger. And then he went down to and visited Army, and they pulled out an offer. And I know it was a place that he was really excited about, and he did a lot of research about what that commitment would look like for him. Talked with his dad, and I had been having conversations with them, and decided to go ahead and commit with them. And I, you know, I told, you know, been talking to him and his dad, I'm like, that's, you know, I know every kid wants, you know, Clemson or Alabama or, you know, Ole Miss, whatever. But like that decision right there, that is a big time pickup, for him and for them. They're going to be excited about the player and the human that they're getting.
No doubt about it. And you talk about players. I think that looking at Brooks Abernathy tells the story of kind of what you are also trying to do in building the people that are going to go beyond the game. Let's talk about the obvious here. Trey Wimbley, PJ Chancellor, number 5 and 12 players in the state, respectively. What is it like for you to have that level of talent, both committed to Clemson, so we got that kind of out of the way and they can focus on this season at Daniel? What do they bring to the table on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball?
Well, when you're trying to set the culture of your program, those are the type of kids that you want, because not only are they supremely talented and, like, complete, I don't even know, game changer is not a strong enough word for those kids. I mean, they're on a whole nother level, but they don't just fall back on their athleticism. They're the hardest working kids on this team. You know, they're up there with the kids that 100% get it, and they compete every day like they are a rising ninth grader fighting for a spot. Like, that's how those guys work. And so when the rising ninth graders that actually are rising ninth graders see the kid that's committed to Clemson working that hard, that changes your program. From a football standpoint, you know, we just try to get the ball in their hands.
That's right. That's good coaching. All right. Yeah. Coach, you know, you played, and this is interesting, you know, as you guide these young men, because you played college football, but you did it the hard way. You walked on at Clemson. You ended up playing at Furman. I want to hear about maybe some of the guys that influenced you, some of the coaches' names we might know on that journey that still influence you today as a coach. Tell us about you, the player, and then picking up what you did from those coaches along the way.
Well, first off, I had a 30-year veteran head coach at the high school level at Eastside High School, Coach John Carlisle, who's a legend in the state, who had led Eastside to a state championship in 1977 and taught me a lot about the game, but also just taught me a lot about leadership and how to navigate life. And so that was number one. I had a lot of other my head baseball coach also coached football, and he's still at Eastside, Coach Irwin. You know, he has those guys run through my brain every day. You know, what would those guys do in this situation? But then got to Clemson, and I actually was a receiver at first for about a couple weeks, and they switched me over to DB. But Dabo was my receivers coach for a couple of meetings. But Dabo's always, you know, obviously a guy that you look to, and I think he, you know, does a lot of really great stuff. That probably undersells everything he does, but he's definitely somebody that I look up to a lot. Coach Vic Koning was the defensive coordinator at Clemson at the time, and was just the way that he connected with us and the way that he coached details blew my mind. He would tell us which way our toes needed to point, you know, and that I had never been coached like that. And so that's how our guys get coached. That's how I coach our coaches. And then got to Furman. And of course, Bobby Lamb was our head coach, and Jeff Farrington was my position coach and defensive coordinator. He went on to be the head coach at North Greenville. And just those guys, the way they're both Christian men that I look up to, the way that they led their programs and led our rooms. And so that's just a few guys, without getting too long winded, that it not only impacted me, but literally go into my mind every single day when I'm making decisions. You know, what would these guys do?
Coach, it's a great legacy of influences. And now you have an opportunity at Daniel to continue what has been a storied tradition, to go on and make a run. We're excited to watch what you guys do this year. And thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. There you have it. That's Coach Chris Stone, Daniel High School, joining us today, right in the thick of spring practice, Smitty, as we are out here on the Four Quarter Friday spring tour. And it's exciting to hear from some coaches. Appreciate Coach Stone getting outside with us too and walking around out there, so that we make sure that we are well connected. And it looks like a beautiful day, which means sooner or later we're going to get off this screen and get out there and see some more ball.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up in our last segment, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about where you're going next and maybe circle back a little bit to the baseball playoffs. I'd like to see some of that. And, of course, we'll hear more about what you've seen. But Daniel's won 7 straight region titles. Did I get that right? Did he say 7? 7 yeah, state region so. Championships? I mean, he won the one last year. But that just tells you what kind of program that is. And watch out, as you said, they have got at least 3 headline players, 2 that are committed to Clemson, and as we said, Brooks Abernathy heading to Army. 3 headline players, and Coach Stone sounds confident too, sounds confident. So we'll take another break. We'll get into the fourth quarter. When we come back, we'll talk about the spring football tour, more on the baseball playoffs, and we'll tease to what's coming up on Inside the Gamecocks and the rest of the network here later today. This is Four Quarter Friday.
If your golf game needs a little help, McKellar Enterprises is one click away. Meredith Taylor, a former Gamecock golfer, fields clients from all across the country. Golfers of every level are enrolling in her well-rounded golf camps. They're improving their game through virtual and on-course lessons. And now, many are a part of the membership program that gives you multiple monthly coaching options to get better. Are you improving for fun? Don't want to hold the group back any longer? Visit McKellarEnterprises.org today and go Gamecocks.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
Do your wood floors need a touch-up? Visit RecoatRevolution.com in South Carolina today.
So, Mason, what do you focus on in the law? My answer to that is I'm a personal injury lawyer. I'm your trusted resource for any problem that you may have.
Visit WestLawFirmSC.com.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD, we've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us, all of South Carolina. We love talking ball, and we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning in to the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
We are back on Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams. This is the fourth quarter. Our thanks to Chris Stone from Daniel High School and Scott Freeman, Southside Christian Baseball, for joining us on the Leading Edge guest line. We're back in the HD Law Studios. And Rob, we've talked about the spring football tour a little bit, kind of got us in the mood talking to Coach Stone And well, that was great hearing about the details with Vic Koning and also the story that he actually was in meetings with Dabo Swinney. So this is what happens when you talk to guys that used to play at that high level, the connections that they make. But all right, I know you're excited. You've been kind of doing a lot in the upstate. You've also gone to Lakewood High School, I know, as well. So recap, if you would, quickly, what you've seen and where you're going to head to next. And we'll follow it, obviously, on YouTube and all the clips you're putting out there and also on our Twitter at Four Quarter SC.
Yeah, no doubt. So day one was actually last week on Friday at Westside, which was great to catch up with Brian Lane. Mm-hmm. Bear Woods, obviously a big, big prospect over there. But before you get to him, you have guys like Christian Webb Scott, Tajay Martin over there. So just a really well-oiled machine. Very impressed with what they have going on Monday.
And Brian Lane's on Twitter now.
Oh,
you can see Brian Lane out there on X. So
he is active.
We'll retweet him some.
I have a fun, whenever we get him on, I got a fun little story from practice that we can share. I got a chance to go to Woodruff on Monday, caught up with Aiden Gibson before heading out to practice, and Coach Sloan was really great in getting us involved out there. They've got some players. And then Tuesday I was with our man Willie Offord, who we had on a few weeks ago at AC Floor at year one, putting that program together. Like I said before, it was a hub of athletic activity out there. Really fun practice with AC Floor, but also had playoff girls soccer, softball, and baseball all happening. And you can touch all of those fields almost from one place in the center, which was where the football team was practicing. So a lot of fun at AC Floor right here in the Midlands. And then on Wednesday, like you mentioned, I went to Lakewood and got a chance to catch up with Coach Devlin, who's in his first year there, replacing Willie Offord.
Right.
And they're putting in new turf, new track. It looks great over there. And then back to the Midlands to see Irmo and Coach Aaron Brand over there with a couple of top prospects in the state. Finally, yesterday, like we mentioned before, I sat down with Mark Hodge at Spartanburg and then made my way over to Dorman for Dorman, Bowling Springs, and Woodmont practice. Next week, Smitty, I will be at MVP on Monday. Coach Freeman just mentioned MVP in that region with Southside Christian to take a look at one of the best teams that's now in 2A ball as they drop down with a lot of athleticism on that roster. Coach Gray Ramsey manning the ship there for year number three of a new school. And then, Smitty, we will have the South Point Showcase on Tuesday, the Spartanburg Showcase on Wednesday, and those are absolutely loaded with teams. So we're excited to see everything that's going on both of those fronts. We should have a ton of content ready for you next week.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I'm going to try to certainly get out to one of these baseball games. I don't know with where I live how many I can reach out, but it was great to hear from Scott Freeman, obviously, and Southside Christian. We said that Oceanside Collegiate, watch out. We want to give them certainly their pub. They're doing what Southside Christian is doing in the upper state right now in 3A. That is what Oceanside Collegiate is doing in the lower part of the state. So if somebody can knock off either one of those teams, that's a monumental upset. That would be getting it done. And look, it can happen. It's baseball. You don't know who you're going to run into and which team is going to be hot, but that's what makes this so much fun. And for me, what excites me coming up tomorrow, a lot of games are going to be taking place tomorrow in 5A. And I love that we have got just these either straight up rivalry games like Stratford and Somerville coming up in the baseball playoffs, or Spartanburg and Boiling Springs, or then you've got, you know, you've also got these interesting storylines like Carolina Forest playing River Bluff. So the quick story there, again, I mentioned that Banks Alexander is one of the names. He's only a sophomore, but he's a notable player, and River Bluff's a really good club, and obviously Carolina Forest has been a Leviathan out of the Grand Strand region for a few years now with North Myrtle Beach, both kind of at the top of that region. But Banks Alexander previously played at Carolina Forest. The family under Austin Alexander, who we just had on this program from the Diamond Prospects, they moved to the Midlands so he can see his older son, Nolan, play more often at Greenwood. So he's more centrally located. Well, what happens? First year Banks is up there at River Bluff. Now he's going to face Carolina Forest and his old teammates in the playoffs. So
yeah, Austin mentioned last week Parker Revis being the guy for Carolina Forest.
Right.
At once a week when he comes up, that's going to be the matchup that you have to watch out for. So I'm not sure where they are in that rotation and who's going to be starting against River Bluff. But if it is Parker Revis, then you will really have a kind of a blockbuster matchup coming up there, along with the storylines. We've seen, obviously, a little bit of River Bluff this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun, Smitty. We're really getting into the thick of it now. This week has been interesting, right? 40-plus games on multiple nights just in baseball. You have so many playoff runs that are happening, baseball, softball, golf, tennis, at soccer. I'm probably going to leave things out, but the entirety of the spring sport calendar is coming to a head right now in the month of May. So there's no better time to be jumping in and following along with Four Quarter Friday. Our morning minute is out every morning at 8 a.m. to just give a snippet. Can't get a lot done in a minute, but we can shout out some of the highlights, scores, and players. Today we had Suki Singh, who just committed, Burns basketball star, committed to Piedmont University. We shouted out Tal Staley, son of head coach Joshua Staley at Ridgeview basketball, committing to Bowling Green earlier this week. And one that's impressed me on this that I haven't been over to see just yet, but Crestwood has a couple of running backs in Sumter County, Smitty, that are really, really impressive. And the up-and-comer 2029 prospect, Braden Bolts, now with 26 offers, posting Virginia Tech and Duke this week. So a lot of schools are getting by to look at that young running back in purple for the Knights over there. So we'll have an opportunity to talk with Roosevelt Nelson coming up pretty soon as well. A lot of things happening. It is a jam-packed schedule in May, and it's a perfect time to follow along with us and get ready for the launch of FourQuarterFriday.com in partnership with Rivals and On3 coming up later this month, Smitty.
I'm glad you mentioned the Four Quarter Friday minute. And those have been fantastic. And as you said, one of the things that you're seeing as you travel around and see all of these teams practice is big year for high school running backs coming up in our state. So it's kind of an old school feel. And they're not running the I formation very often anymore. A lot of times it's out of the spread, but you're going to see some guys tote the rock and they're going to be headliners. So, you know, that's going to be one of the fun things as we do launch the website and we move into football season is the two of us, along with all the coaches that we're going to have on and all the people we'll speak to, all the writers, we'll be able to help preview some of the players that you're going to see on Friday nights. And then you can actually go out, your local community, support it, get in the stands, and you're going to know, oh, that's right, number 28. They said he was a baller. They had that writer on. They had that coach talking about him previewing set. That's going to be fun. All right, that's it for us. Time now to move on to Inside the Gamecocks here on the network. Our thanks again to our sponsors, including the South Carolina Coaches Athletic Association. Obviously, couldn't be here without you. We really appreciate it. That's why we love to give these coaches all this attention, all the hard work they're putting in. Our thanks to Scott Freeman, Southside Christian, Chris Stone from Daniel High School. Rob, anything left before we go to Inside the Gamecocks?
The only other thing I would say is if you have players or programs that you want to hear about, feel free to reach out. We're all over social media. I would love to hear that. We already had somebody shout out a player at Blacksburg yesterday. We'll check them out. Make sure that you, if you want to hear about your team or a player that we should know about that's under the radar, send us a message, send us a reply. We're all over the place. It's easy to get a hold of us.
That's right. They'll go from under the radar to in the spotlight here on Four Quarter Friday. That's it for us. Inside the Gamecocks is next. Thank you for joining us. Until next week, so long.